The Gestalt Gardener podcast is brought to you by Varicosity Vein Center, providing health assessment screenings and compassionate care to improve your vascular functionality and quality of life. Our doctors and vein specialists offer solutions to painful varicose veins, spider veins, and other venous diseases to our patients. Now offering complimentary vein screenings in Jackson, Madison, and Ridgeland. Information and appointment scheduling at varicosityveincenter.com.
This is an MPB Think Radio podcast. To hear previous shows, visit mpbonline.org or download the MPB Public Radio app to listen on your iPhone or Android phone on demand.
Okie dokie, folks. Welcome back. Horticulturist Phil Rushing. We're going to be talking about gardening for the next hour or so. If you want to give us a call, it is toll-free. It's live. The number is 1-877-MPB-RING. I think 1-877-MPB-RING. And I know it's kind of dreary out there. We've had a lot of rain this past week. My garden has gotten a little bit over 5 inches since we were here last week. Matter of fact, just an inch last night. So anyway, if you've got wet weather blues, we can talk about that. If you've got some plants that need to be moved, it's going to be time for that as soon as we get a little cold weather next week. We got plenty of stuff. Matter of fact, yesterday I went out and visited some garden centers. I got me some violas, you know, the old purple and yellow old-fashioned violas, like little miniature pansies. I got some pansies, a few purple kale and some white kale and some white dusty miller to kind of punch up the color a little bit, some emerald green parsley, a few other colorful winter hardy plants. I'm going to put them in small flower beds here and there. You know, I don't have time or the inclination to have flowers everywhere, so I have a lot of shrubs and perennials and things, but I have a few little spots here and there that wherever you look in my garden, you see at least one spot of color. So two or three little spots in the front yard and one or two in the backyard, so it just feels like there's a lot of color out there when it's really only just some real small beds. But anyway, I'm going to put some in pots and, of course, put a few in the back of my truck. I'm hoping to set some of them out this afternoon or maybe tomorrow, get them settled in a little bit before really cold weather comes on next week. I'm going to have to pull a few summer things, though. I've got jewels of opar everywhere, zinnias and peppers and angelone and okra and, you know, stuff's going to freeze next week, but, you know, that's part of it. Also visited the folks out at Standing Pine Nursery. They're a wholesale place that supplies a lot of the garden centers and florists with all sorts of stuff, bedding plants and florist crop. And their poinsettias are really, really colored up. They got just greenhouses full of reds and whites and speckled, and some are already showing some of the little real flowers. You know, if you look down in the middle of those colorful bracts, those things that we call poinsettia flowers, you see the real flowers right down the center. Really, really cool things. That's the kind of stuff I've been up to. This past week, I've had a number of my fall blooming chrysanthemums. I don't mean the cushion mums like you buy and use and either throw away or pull them up next spring after they rot. But I'm talking about the old-fashioned mums, the morifoliums, the ones that you see all around the country gardens and small towns and in upscale gardens where people appreciate really, really cool, dependable stuff. It's a perennial mum different from the florist chrysanthemum. And the one we see the most often is a big, pale pink, almost lavender pink one. Some people call it country girls. Her real name is Clara Curtis, but I've got yellow ones, I've got burgundy ones, I've got white ones, I've got all the little button ones, several different kinds that have been collected from across the South, and every one of them are absolute dependable late October through November, even if it gets really, really cold. So anyway, that's the kind of stuff I really enjoy having. You know, to sort of pick up my spirits in this transition we call autumn. We've got a new system up here at MPB, and I've been told don't push any buttons at all. Just look at the screen and talk. And I see that we got a guy named Java. Is this way you want? I put a piece of paper over the button so I don't accidentally push it. But anyway, we're going to go to Clinton right off the bat and talk with Reuben. Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Good, good, good. A little wet, but, you know, it's what keeps us from being in West Texas.
Understand.
Yeah,
one question. I have some dwarf yaupon shrubs that are about a year or so.
What kind of shrubs?
Yaupon.
Yaupon, gotcha. One of my favorites. Yeah.
And they're in need of shaping up, and it's getting cold.
Yeah.
Would there be a problem with actually trimming them.
No. Now, is this the little round ones or the big tree form kind?
Oh, a little round one.
Yeah, I got some. No, as a matter of fact, I've got one in my front yard that looks more raggedy than my hair right now. And, you know, and this is a good time. You know, we don't want to prune stuff in the late summer or the early fall, but if you need them right now, they're going to be fine till spring. I've got to do that this weekend myself.
That's great. Thank you much.
That's it.
Okay.
All right. Appreciate your call, Ruben. Thank you. Our numbers are toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. It is a good time to go ahead and neaten stuff up. I will warn those of you who want to prune spring-blooming stuff like azaleas and spireas and forsythias and even nandinas, you know, those shrubs with the red berries. They're spring-blooming shrubs. If you cut them back really hard, they go next year's spring flowers and possibly berries also. If you've got nandinas that are getting kind of leggy, you want to prune them back, instead of cutting them all the way back, cut out the tall stuff. You know, let's say you got some stems that are head high. Reach down in the plant, cut them down to about knee high, and they'll bush out there next spring. And then cut some about waist high. In other words, just thin them out and leave a few unpruned. Not only you have berries the rest of the winter, but those that you don't prune now will bloom in the spring and have berries next fall. So this is a real good time to not prune spring bloomers. Speaking of flowers, last week I picked up an arrangement of flowers from my florist friend, Robert Whitley, and he had put together some zinnias and cosmos in a little arrangement. It's been a week, and fresh flowers grown up near Canton is still perfectly fine. I've had to change water a couple of times and keep it out of the sun in my cabin, but while at the farmer's market down at the Jackson Fairgrounds last Saturday, I met the guy who grew the flowers. Had a real nice chat about them. Sorry they're going to be cut down by cold this next week, but I'm just reminded that the best cut flower, the best butterfly and bee-friendly flower, you easy to grow summer flower you can possibly plant from seed is plain old zinnias. A lot of different kind of zinnias. My favorite, the kind of cut flowers, the long stem. They go by different names, but the most common one is a strain called State Fair. You go to any garden center, they've got on their seed rack all sorts of zinnias, little zinnias and middle-sized zinnias and replete bloomers. But the one with the tall, long stems, a mixed color, singles and doubles, called State Fair. They've been around for a long time. They're absolutely dependable, and they will bloom all late spring, summer, fall, and great butterfly plants, great, great, long-lasting cut flowers. We're going to go now up to Madison and talk with Jim. Hey, Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Felder.
What's up?
I have for the first time a couple of banana trees in my backyard, and I want to know if I should cut them down before or after we have this freeze next week.
Ooh, well, you know, you're going to have to cut them down sooner or later. I would cut them down before, because after they're going to be really slimy. I mean, nasty slimy.
Right.
And they're
going
to be slippery. You try to pick them up, they're going to slide down on your shoes. So I'd go ahead and cut them down. Hey, what are you going to do with them, though? Are you going to cover them up and let them sprout back out, or what?
Yeah, that was going to be my follow-up question. How close to the ground should I cut the stem, and what should I cover them with or mulch them with over the winter?
Yeah. Have you ever had banana flowers or bananas on it?
No. I mean, it's the first year. They were only a foot tall when I planted them.
Okay. Here's the deal. Bananas take 16, 18 months or so from when it sprouts until it makes flowers. As long as you can protect a foot or two of that stem over the winter, it gives enough head start next year to maybe flower and even have some bananas late in the fall. So what I do is cut them down to about knee high and just pile a bunch of leaves and stuff all up around it. And if we have a fairly mild winter, those will sprout back out. If we don't, they'll sprout back out from the roots, but you'll just have foliage. So try to protect a foot or maybe foot and a half or 2 feet if you can.
Okay, that sounds great.
All right.
I needed to know. Thank you, man.
You bet, Jim. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Okay, so far, two for two. I know how to answer those two things. I love getting stumped, though, because there's so much about gardening that I don't know, even after, how long have I been doing this? 1983, long, long time I've been doing this. But there's a lot of stuff I don't know, and I love getting stumped because it gives me a chance to look stuff up and see, and also give folks a chance to call in and help me out with what you know. So if you've got questions about horticulture, gardening, lawns, shrubs, trees, flowers, perennials, bulbs, potted plants, all that kind of stuff, give me a call. It's toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. You're not going to have many opportunities during the week to talk to somebody who, A, doesn't know it all and not embarrassed about it, but also not going to try to sell you anything. So if you need something, I'll recommend what I would do myself or what I'd recommend my mother would do if she's sitting across the desk from me here. Anyway, my bulbs are coming up. Some of the early daffodils like paper whites and that sometimes bloom as early as Christmas. Usually by January, we get some early paper whites. Our friends up north, Minnesota and in Wisconsin and Vermont and places like that, they grow daffodils, but they don't have nothing in the middle of the winter like we do. Paper whites are about the best. When I was walking around this past week, I also smelled a couple of things. Our sweet olives are blooming. It's an evergreen shrub that has tiny little flowers in loose clusters, a lot of times hidden down in the foliage. There's a white one, the old-fashioned one. There's one with yellow kind of golden flowers, but they're intensely fragrant. I also smelled some Eleagnus, that shrub that you plant to hide a school bus behind. They have fall fruits, and usually by Christmas they have a little small banana shape. Perfectly edible berries, but right now they're intensely fragrant. And not sure where the smell's coming from because it's hidden way down in all that crazy foliage. Hey, if you want to give us a call, toll free 1-877-MPB-RING. We're going to go to Jackson and talk with Phil. Good morning, sir.
Hey, how are you?
Fine. What's going on?
Good. Well, earlier this summer, I managed to sprout an avocado seed.
Oh, boy.
And, so... toward the end of the summer, I did put it in the ground, and it came through. It's growing now. It's about 12 inches long, maybe about 6 or 8 leaves on it.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if it would make it through a Mississippi winter.
Nope.
And if not, what could
No. As a matter of fact, most of the time, they won't even make it through the winter on the coast if we have a normal winter. So they're extremely sensitive to frost. So if you want to keep it over, Phil, I'd dig it up, put it in a pot, and bring it in. Put it in a sunny window.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's just, it's a tropical plant. You know, a hard frost will damage it. A freeze will completely kill it. It won't even come back.
Okay. But
hadn't it been fun anyway?
Yeah, it was fun. But it was a long process as well.
What did you do the toothpick thing and all that?
Yeah, did the whole toothpick in the glass. And my son and I watched it for I don't know how long. And, and it finally came through, so I didn't give up on it. It was just a long process.
You know, Phil, it's as everybody knows, it is a weird world, and grown guys sometimes need something simple like this to keeps our minds from getting too busy.
That's right.
Good luck, old man. Hey, let me know if it makes it through okay, but I'd definitely bring it in for you, unless you just, like the process, don't mind getting started over again.
Well, I think I want to try to keep it, so I might just bring it in. I appreciate it.
Good luck on it, man. Appreciate it, Phil.
Thank you, now. All right.
Okay, now let's go to a break, real quick break. And we got a caller on the line. Our numbers are toll free anywhere. If you're hearing this and you're not on a podcast, you can. Well, if it's during that hour, you're even on a podcast, pick up a phone, toll free 1-877-MPB-RING. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing, and me and Java Chapman are trying to make this party as calm as we possibly can. We got a really, matter of fact, when we come back for this break, let's do this little special weather tune I put together for y'all. I'm horticulturist Felder Rushing here at MPB. We'll be back more with the Gestalt Gardener right after this. Folks, welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing. I'm going to take a couple of calls that didn't play a really, really bad tune. Really, really bad, a little short tune. We're going to start out in Madison with John. Hey, John, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good this morning.
What's up?
I've got a question about some trees in front of a house, and they're asking me to trim them back, and I wanted to ask. I think they're the pear trees, and I think and they're probably pretty old. I could tell. One looks like it's already kind of losing the middle.
Yeah.
And I was actually going to say, hey, cut them down. This is what he would say to do, cut them down. But how much can I cut those back safely and to where they'll come back?
Well, let me ask a back question first. Is they the neighborhood association?
No, it's a home that they're trying to the call is from the realtor. I'm doing a bunch of repairs on a deck and some other
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, hey, can you – cut these trees way back because you can't see the front of the house at all.
Well, you can, but if, John, if it is one of the pear trees, you know, Bradford-type pears, those things typically after 15, 18, 20 years, they start to fall. There's some older ones around, but typically after, 18 or 20 years, they start to decline. If it's not looking great, you know, rather than cut it back, I would just cut it off and stick a new one out right beside it. That's a whole lot easier, and it's not going to look all boogered up. Everybody's going to talk about you. So if it is a pear tree, and if you're not sure, send me a picture of the leaves before they fall off, and I can help with that. But the pear trees are short lived anyway.
I'm pretty positive that they're pear trees. They're
short term. They're designed to be replaced every couple of three decades.
Okay, and so could I then cut them down right at the ground?
Oh, yeah.
Or do I need to, like, work on the stumps and dig out stumps?
No, I just
down to the ground and plant next to it.
I'd cut down close enough to the ground where you could just mow over it next year because it'll sprout stuff out in the spring, but mowing will take care of that. And you can put something over 2 or 3 feet for either side of it. All righty, man. Good luck on that. We're going to go up to Memphis now. Hey, Steve, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
So far, so good. What's up?
Hey, I've got a space that I need your help with. We've got a fairly sizable concrete patio with a planting bed that's in the middle of it.
Uh-huh.
And I'd like to find a good tree that we could plant that would grow, I don't know, 20, 25 feet tall and have a good-looking canopy that maybe won't drop too many berries or leaves or flowers.
I've got a perfect one for you. There's a lot of good choices. As a matter of fact, I've been thinking about this quite a bit, Steve, because we're having trouble with crepe myrtles, and you know whether people like it or not are ready to accept it. They're not going to be a tree of choice down the road because of this new problem we've got with them. So I've been thinking of really good replacement trees that are large tree-like shrubs or small tidy trees. And one of the best, one of the sturdiest, most dependable that'll actually grow in that kind of restricted area is a type of Siberian elm. It's called Drake, D-R-A-K-E, Drake elm. It's got a nice canopy. It never gets really, really big. And it's got the most beautiful mottled kind of orangey bark. So it's a nice little accent thing. But Drake is a type of Siberian elm, and they're small, really tidy trees.
Those don't get too tall?
No. Okay. No, it's not a regular elm. It's a unique kind of thing. Now, if you want to go with something that's a little bit, my favorite one's kind of boring a lot of people, but our native Yaupon holly, that's a tree form. Pruning up a tree, it's a nice airy, it's evergreen, but it's airy. It's not real dense shade. It doesn't cause a lot of problems with leaf litter and stuff like that, but it's a nice one. You can also hang little reflective balls and stuff in the, you know. But the native, Yaupon holly is another really good one that'll take not only dry conditions, because you're not going to be able to water this thing all the time, but it'll take the radiated heat from all that pavement in the middle of the summer.
Yeah. Okay, good idea. And that one would be evergreen then.
Yeah, but it's a light evergreen. It's not a real heavy, dense type of thing. It's not going to cause problems, dropping stuff in people's glass of tea.
That might make it interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I got Siberian elm and Yaupon holly.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Those are two, right off the top of my bat, two real easy ones.
Okay.
All righty, man.
I appreciate the suggestion.
Appreciate your call, too. We've got some things that are going on right now. I want to talk about some that are coming up, including a real fun talk up in Pontotoc this next Tuesday. But I want to do this cheesy tune I put together for y'all.
On its way, bringing a whole bunch of cold air to us. You're warm and comfortable right now, but as soon as the cold front gets here, you're gonna be cold and uncomfortable. Cold front is a big old mass of cold air. It's coming in and replacing the warm air that's here right now. You're gonna be shivering. You're gonna have to put on a coat because a cold front's coming. yeah. Look out for the cold front. It's gonna make you cold. Weatherman says it's coming.
Yeah, weatherman.
Probably tomorrow.
Well, tonight it's going to get cold, but next week it's going to get really, really cold, folks. I hope y'all are getting ready for it. I've got my potted plants ready. I've got to pull a bunch of leaves out of them, make sure there's no lizards in there hitchhiking their way indoors. But I'm going to start dragging my potted plants in over the weekend. They'll take in the upper 30s, no problem. Especially if you live in town, it's not going to get as cold in town as it will outside because of radiated heat. But next week, you're going to wish you'd brought your Sansevieria and your hibiscus in. Start getting ready for them now so you don't have to do it all at the last minute in a big rush. By the way, I'm going to be up in Pontotoc. Up in North Mississippi this next Tuesday night. It's going to start at 6 o'clock. It's going to be at the community center, and it's free. It's sponsored by the garden club up there. Anyway, November the 13th, Pontotoc, starting at 6 p.m. We're going to have a fun time. It's going to be cold, so you know, bring your coat and stuff like that. But we'll be indoors. It was nice and snug, and we're going to be talking about gardening, having a easy, good time. So look forward to seeing y'all there. Also, the Mississippi Gulf Coast Camellia Society, a couple of weeks, is having their big camellia show November 17th. It's going to be in Lyman Community Center in Gulfport. We'll talk about that a little bit more next week. But coming up this weekend, the last workshop of the season at Tishomingo State Park. This is way up in the icebox, the northeast corner. Could be Alabama, could be Tennessee, but it's actually in Mississippi. November 10th, 10 o'clock to 11:30 at the Lodge. Learn how to make potpourri using debris and other trash from your garden. They can have gourd crafting, how to make gnome homes, gourd planters, baskets, mixed dry food, mixes in jars for gift giving. All the proceeds going to go to the Friends of Tishomingo State Park. And by the way, all the proceeds means $10. Covers supplies and refreshments. That's going to be at 10 o'clock to 11:30 at the Lodge at Tishomingo State Park this coming Saturday. Now, we're going to go to talk with Steve in Memphis. I thought we just talked to Steve. Steve, are you there? Oh, see, Java, you pushed the wrong button. Java,
I've been hanging around you a little bit too much.
You pushed the wrong button.
We have William in Ellisville. I've been hanging. You're rubbing off on me, man.
You took away all my buttons, and now you're taking over the. Anyway, we're going to Ellisville. Hey, William, thanks for holding. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. My question is about you spoke about earlier, Iliagnus. I have a bunch of them, and I want to root some of them. And so, do I cut the tips off, or do I cut the long runners off and make pieces out of them? What time of year do I do it in? Water? Do I do it in dirt? And so forth. And I was wondering, what is it? What is the plant sweet olive? I always call Iliagnus sweet olive.
Well, you know, Iliagnus smells like sweet olive. They both bloom the same time of year. A sweet olive is a sort of a generic. It's a big shrub. You know, it almost not a tree, but it's like a big, dense evergreen, generic, real nothing special about it kind of shrub, except when it blooms this time of year. An old fashioned plant. Got, you know, medium sized leaves, evergreen. Really doesn't look like much, but it's really, really good smelling. Anyway, to answer your question about Iliagnus, in general, evergreen plants like azaleas, hollies, Iliagnus, in general, they root best in the summertime after the new growth comes out and kind of toughens up a little bit. Deciduous plants like roses and crepe myrtles, they root best in the winter. But you would want to take not the tip-end stuff. When it puts out new growth in the spring, William, if you'll cut off a branch and cut the floppy tip off, then, you know, somewhere the new growth is kind of toughened up, will root pretty well in potting soil, moist potting soil. Anyway, we can do a little bit more with email for this, but in general, because they're evergreens, they'll suck themselves dry if you don't keep them humid. So what I do is I mix up some potting soil, stick a whole bunch of cuttings in a pot, and then put a little plastic tin or maybe the big cola bottle, plastic cola thing with the bottom end cut off like a miniature greenhouse, keep the humidity up that works a lot. So we're looking at late May, June, July. That's the best time to root pieces about 4, 5, 6 inches long.
Thank you very much.
It sounds complicated, but it's not. If you'll shoot me an email sometime, I'll be glad to help you. Ain't no thing.
Thanks.
Okay, appreciate it. Okay, folks, we've got 30 minutes left to talk about gardening. 30 minutes of talking about yards and gardens. Now, for the next couple of minutes, I want to play something that was recorded here in the studio. It's because I was raking up leaves last year and thinking about doing some composting. I'm not a used to be a composter, but now what I do is I just pile stuff up and let it happen. And it brought to mind an old cowboy poem about where do cowboys go when they die. And I thought it'd be appropriate to turn that into where do gardeners go when they die. We'll be right back with more of the Gestalt Gardener here on MPB right after this.
Where do the gardeners go when they die? What is reincarnation? A gardener asked his friend. His friend replied, well, it happens when your life has reached its end. You see, they store your tools and they roll your holes and they clean your fingernails. Then they bury you deep in a compost pile, far away from life's travails. You start to melt down in that leaf pile that you are inside. And later you're put in the garden and just beginning your transformation ride. Well, in a while, some rain's gonna come and fall upon the ground. Till one day on your lonely little spot, a little flower will be found. And say a slug should slide by and graze upon the flower that once was you, but has now become a vegetative bower. The little flower that has been eaten by the snail becomes everything essential for its shell. But some he's consumed, he can't use, so it passes through. And finally, it lays there on the ground, this stuff that once was you. And then say that I should wander by and gaze upon the ground and wonder and ponder on this object that I've found. Well, it sure makes me think of reincarnation, of life and death and such. And I walk away, concluding that, friend, you ain't changed all that much.
Oh, folks, that was a flashback. I don't know how many of y'all remember my producer, Jonas Adams. Anyway, he did a great job of that. Java, you know, you got the jive and all, but he's got the compost thing. We've got us a couple of callers on the line, but before we do that, let me mention this. Wenda, I visited a couple of friends of mine, Cecilia and Bill Wardlaw. They're Jackson gardeners. Cecilia takes care of the plants and stuff at Greenwood Cemetery, the roses and all. Anyway, I was photographing their stone waterway. They made it where when water runs away from their yard, it runs real quick. So they made little pathways lined with stones, and it looks good even when it's sunny outside. It's just a rocky waterway, a dry waterway. It really helps a lot, but they had a pair of flamingos in it, and one of his had his legs duct tape on. And somebody said, think about this, duct tape on flamingos. And one more thing, Java, I got to mention this. My son, I was at my daughter's birthday party the other night. My son, who's 30-something years old, he's a lawyer. He came with a terrible idea for a program called Lawn Order. Lawn Order.
Now, I like that one.
Okay.
We need to get Dick Wolf on the phone.
Well, we need to come up with some of the things that were suggested was program ideas. One would be episodes like Mowed Too Close, people who mow their grass, or how about this, Crepe Murder?
That sounds good, man. We might have to get on it.
Yeah, here's one called How About Murder, She Root?
Or Angela Lansbury when you need her.
There you go. Anyway, hate to break the news to my son Ira, but he sounds like he's on track to end up with his own bad dad jokes. Just saying, son. Now let's go to Benton, Mississippi. Talk with Cindy. Hey, Cindy, thank you for holding.
Hey.
Howdy.
I just have a question. I'm wanting to make a natural wall. The neighbor, there's that dog wire fence, so I thought about the Iliagnus, and I wondered how far away from her fence we would need to plant it so we could cut in between, and then how far apart they would need to be. And is that a good idea to use Iliagnus?
Well, I can't tell, Cindy, the difference between a good bad idea and a bad good idea. But Iliagnus is a not a good idea for that because they get huge. They want to be huge. And in order to keep them even medium sized, you have to prune all the time. And so I would go with something That's going to stay more compact. There's a plant called ligustrum. You probably heard of ligustrum all your life. You know, you can put wax ligustrum 4 or 5 feet apart, and they prune into the nicest dense heads. They get pretty white flowers in spring, but they'll stay and they're fast growing too. So if you put them 4 or 5 feet apart, and the day you put them in the ground, believe it or not, cut them back to about knee high, that'll make them bush out, and all that new growth will run together between the plants the first season.
Okay. And how far away from the latest fence that I don't want it to get up against where I can make one little swoop with my zero turn?
Oh, well, you're going to have to put it at least, I'm going to say, 4 or 5 feet out. You know, because they go around. Well, let me throw out something else. In the meanwhile, if you get some little small plants, see if you can find some cheap wax ligustrum. You know, dig a nice little wide hole, put them out there, cut them back to knee high. But in the immediate long run, is it bothering you from where you sit, or just the idea of it bothering you?
It's an older couple, and uh-huh. We're not sure who will be in there next.
You
just kind of wanted. Privacy fence started.
Okay. If you'll go ahead and get you some small ones, and by the way, put some mulch or a clump of monkey grass or a brick or something around it, because if you ever hit the trunk of those one time with the string trimmer or the mower, that'll booger them up for the rest of their lives. So make sure you never hit the trunk of these things with the mower or anything. But, okay. You know, if you were standing out in the sun and the sun was in your eyes, you would hold one hand up and just block out the sun with your hand. You know that idea? You could do that closer to your house by getting a piece of, this lattice. You get even plastic lattice. Turn it sideways and put it on a couple of posts and put it up close to where you live. That will block out the whole neighbor's house just a few feet out from your deck or your window or something. Plant a vine on that. So you can have instant shade, instant privacy by putting up something closer. It's called a baffle. It's not a fence. And, you can have it where it's 3 feet off the ground, just turn sideways. But that'll give you instant privacy while your shrubs grow.
Yeah, well, it's an 80-acre plot, and they have an 80-acre plot. So we have a lot of room. And one more question. A Confederate rose. I got a little bitty one out of somebody's yard that just came up way away from their big one. I put it in a pot. Just like 3 or 4 leaves on it. Will it be okay in that pot till next spring to put outside?
It will be. Keep it inside, though.
Got it inside.
Yeah, okay. And if it gets it, what's going to happen over the wintertime, it's going to get leggy and stretchy. And when if you put that out in the spring, all those leaves are going to sunburn and fall off. So when you get ready to sit out in the spring, go ahead and cut it back to a couple of feet or so tall. It'll bush out and grow a whole lot better. But when you set it out, be sure to cut it back.
Okay.
All right, good luck. Hey, if you need some more ideas about this, I understand. A group of plants closer to your house can block off more than a whole bunch of stuff way out there. Just think about that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, this is way off from our house anyway.
Well, yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, Cindy, appreciate it. And again, shoot me an email if you have some more questions about that.
Thank you.
And the number here, folks, 1-877-MPB-RING. Again, I'm going to be in Pontotoc this coming Tuesday night. It's going to start at 6 o'clock. We have a lot of fun. It's free. And it's going to be cold that night. So let's get together, huddle together, talk about gardening, cheer each other up. That's the way we roll here at MPB. Our number is a toll-free 1-877-MPB-RING. Our email is garden@mpbonline.org. Let's go to Brandon and talk with June. Hey, June. Thank you, ma'am.
Hi, Felder. Thanks. Yeah. I love the show.
Well, appreciate
you. And I certainly appreciate it today driving to Atlanta in all this rain.
Oh, boy.
I'm just so thankful for your show.
What?
Well, I have two questions and one other comment. The comment is, the weather report song has won the cheesy song, the cheesy music. Man, I got through it. It was good. I liked it.
I've got more.
My question, one is the gentleman that rooted the avocado.
Mm-hmm.
I have done that a couple of times and many attempts that I didn't. But do you recommend the large avocado seed or those little small avocados to be able to root better?
Well, as long as the fruit is ripe, the seed should sprout. You know, and it may be, and I'm not much of an avocado eater. I go to a place where they peel it and mash all sorts of stuff in with it for me. And so I've never really done it myself, but it may be that there are different varieties. Some have bigger avocados than others, you know, different varieties, just like with pecans and apples and tomatoes and stuff. But, you know, if the fruit is ripe, the seed should sprout.
Okay. Well, get you an avocado and just, cut it in half and just eat it like an apple. It doesn't even have to be all the way ripe. Now, the other question that I have is my daughter had last summer raised monarch butterflies, and she did the little guff fritillary
Fritillary. Don't make it complicated. Fritillary.
That's right. And
are you driving right now, or is somebody else driving?
I am, but I'm not around any traffic.
Okay. Keep going. Keep talking.
Thank you for considering.
You're just getting too cheerful here.
Well, so what my question is now, getting more butterfly plants for them, mm-hmm. the maypop plant or the passion plant,
right,
is a little fritillary one,
right,
and the other one, I forget what it is, but would you plant those bushes now?
Well,
get butterflies next year or what?
First of all, the maypop or passion flower is a native plant. You can set it out anytime you can find one. Matter of fact, I've got one sitting out in my front yard in a pot. I hadn't gotten around to planting yet, but it's a good, dependable native plant, and you can plant it anytime you can find one. As far as the butterfly milkweed, the Asclepias is what they call it. There's a whole bunch of different kinds, including some native vines and some native perennials. But one of the very best, the absolute best for the monarchs and for gardeners is called tropical milkweed. It's a perennial on the coast. It'll make it some of the time, in Brandon. But it's really easy to find in garden centers in the spring, and it'll get head high or more. It blooms nonstop. It's got pretty little red and yellow flowers. And it's by far the best garden plant for milkweed, and blooms along it as great plant. But I'd wait and plant those in the spring, because if we have a hard winter, they might freeze.
Okay, in the spring.
It's called tropical milkweed. And you may hear from some people say you shouldn't plant it because it causes problems. Well, they just don't know what they're talking about, and I do.
Oh, okay. Well, I saw a T-shirt, and it said, Got milkweed?
Oh yeah, I've seen that. It's got the caterpillar on it.
Right.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Okay, hands on the wheels.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Oh, give us a call, folks. 1-877-MPB-RING, 877 Mississippi Public Broadcasting, RING ring. By the way, this theme song was done by a fellow who lives on the Gulf Coast. I'll get your name for him in a second. But this particular verse is played by a fellow named Thomas Grillo. He's a thereminist. Theremin is the only instrument you play by not touching it. And this is a duet that Thomas Grillo did of our MPB, the Gestalt Gardener theme song, on two theremins. We'll be back with more of the Gestalt Gardener right after this. Welcome back. Horticulture's Felder Rushing. We're talking about gardening here in the Deep South. I appreciate all you folks who listen by way of podcast. I get emails from all over the country from folks who, the truth is gardening is the same. You have different seasons, different plants, different stuff, but it's still all about digging a hole and sticking something in the green side up and hoping for the best. All the rest of nothing but finesse, just like composting. A lot of people right now notice they got a lot of pine straw in their yards. There's not much you can do with pine straw except rake it up and put it up under your shrubs or bale it up and give it to a neighbor whose dog is shivering out in the cold and needs something warm to lay on. But when it comes to regular tree leaves like oaks and sweet gums and things like that, if you rake and bag, it's your right as an American. And if you voted, you got a right to do whatever you want to do. Well, you had a right anyway, but shame on you if you didn't vote. Anyway, If you mow the leaves, the leaves break down and recycle. Earthworms come up at night. They forage around. They pull the stuff back down deep in their holes and fertilize, recycle nutrients. So mowing the leaves is the best option by far for the lawn, for the trees, for your back, for the environment, everything. But if it gets to where you can't see the grass anymore, you've mowed the leaves and you can't see the grass anymore, then you can rake or mow or blow, but put them up under shrubs, under your trees. You know, do what you can to keep from bagging them, because bagging just goes nowhere. If you want to have a compost but don't feel like you want to know about carbon-nitrogen ratio and a bioactivation and turning and aerating and all this, just make a leaf pile. If you got a big enough yard to have leaves, you got a big enough yard to put a leaf pile someplace. If you want to mix green stuff and brown stuff together, that's mo better. But if you just pile stuff up, if the neighbors complain, make a nice little sign that says earthworm crossing and stick it out there and just make people feel bad that they're not being as good as you are. Mow as much as you can. And when you can't mow anymore and you can't see the grass, go ahead and use them as a mulch. Or get you a leaf pile, a compost pile. It's an easy way to go. It's a lazy way, but it's also a smart way. Let's go up to Walls, Mississippi, which is almost to Memphis, Tennessee, and talk with Larry. Hey, Larry, good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. What's going on?
You know, I got a problem with my neighbor and the fence. Our yard sits higher than their yard does. We have a fence.
Yeah.
My wife has got a big, big, big garden all the way around the house and everything. But anyway, alongside that fence, we always mulch. We put about 9 yards of mulch every year.
You're going to be able to climb over that fence before it's over.
Yeah, and what the neighbors are complaining is the mulch, because we use the dark, is staying in their grass. So alongside the fence, I put pavers that were, you know, probably 6-8 inches tall, you know, to alleviate some of that, but it's still doing it. And now they're complaining about the fence wood rotting.
Yeah,
they say it's my fence, but I don't know whose fence it is. Have you ever had that issue, and how do I tell whose fence it really is?
Well, you know, you need, first of all, find out who paid for it to begin with, and that's a good start right there. That doesn't solve it, but that's a good start. By the way, have you pointed at your neighbors that you're above them, you can look down on them anytime you feel like it?
If I look over the fence, yes.
Metaphorically, you look down on them, too. You know, it's a good thing. But as far as whose fence it is, you know, when someplace, if you don't know, your wife's going to know where the paperwork is. It has the survey. That'll show that kind of thing. But also, if you find out who paid, also, which way is it facing? Who sees the pretty side of it? Because I would be willing to, you know, that has something to do with it also.
That's what I was told, and so that's why I was wondering. Actually, I see the pretty side of it, and they see the wood, the back side of it.
So. Yeah, that doesn't really solve it, but that's a good thing. You know, the other thing to do would be to offer to plant some little shrubs on their side of y'all's fence, and, you know, just tell them not to worry about it. You know, lighten up. Life is complicated, but, you know, this
right.
is, what who has it said, love your neighbors, but keep your fences?
Right, and good fences make good neighbors.
yeah, but and one of your neighbors saying it's not such a good fence, I'd find out who's, you know, for sure whose it is, and
right,
you know, the
right.
property line and all that. You know, there's a couple of other things you can do. One would be, you know, there's a lot of different options we could go here to keep the stuff from staying in their yard. But the truth is, from a legal point of view, there ain't squat they can do about it. Just you don't want
right.
to be that kind of neighbor.
No, I don't. And actually, we don't have any words about it. They just ask me, and I try to appease and do what I can with it.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to do with it any longer past that point. Of course, with the mulch, you know, it's going to hold the moisture, and it's going to rot those plants sooner or later.
Yeah. I had the same problem. What I did with mine, my leaf pile is up against my and it's my neighbor's fence, but I put a fence, my own fence boards on my side of it. What I did was I put down some, you know, the sheet metal that you use, you know, long, it's like a foot wide, and you get it by the roll. I put some of that along the bottom of the fence so my leaves are piled up against it, and you might want to consider doing that. You know, just the stuff they, you know, where go to a big box store where they have those rolls of, it's just real flimsy sheet metal. It comes in rolls.
Yeah, like flashing for a roof.
Flashing, that's right. If you put some of that along the, you know, pull your mulch back, put that along the bottom, it'll not only keep, you know, your mulch on your side, it'll keep from rotting the fence, but at least it, make sure if you do this, you do it in a way where they see you doing it.
Right, right.
Because that goes a long ways.
Yeah, that's a lot of work digging that mulch up because we've had the house for 10 years and I put out like 9 yards every year.
Yeah, that's a lot of mulch. Do you buy the mulch or you get a local tree surgeon to provide it for you?
No, I buy it and I spread it. And I'm telling my wife, why did we ever do this?
Yeah, well, it's like painting a fence. Once you paint a fence, that means sooner or later you got to repaint it. So you shouldn't have painted it to begin with. If you can, you know, think about getting some of the stuff that could be just slid down along the fence into, you know, down a little bit. And, you know, that might help a little bit. If nothing else, it'll make them, you know, let you know that you care, even if you don't.
That I put in, and I said, listen, I'm putting these along the fence, and, of course, I got a thumbs up, but it's still doing it, so.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know. If you could pull the pavers back and just slide this metal down, you know, that's two things you've done to help. And if that ain't enough, you know, learn to get your wife to arch your eyebrow at them.
That's good. I love it.
Good looking. Hey, shoot me. This is an interesting question. It's an interesting question. Shoot me an email so I can get a little bit more thought on it.
I will. Thank you so much. Okay. And I do appreciate you.
Okay. Appreciate it, Larry. Thank you. Ooh, good neighbors and fences. Java. You know, gardening is, there's no horticulture emergencies, but there's some garden issues.
And Robert Frost is the one who said that good fences make good neighbors.
Yeah. And I forget who it was who said, love your neighbors, but keep your fences. So anyway, folks, there's going to be a few things coming up. If you have some events that you'd like to help me, like me to help you promote, especially coming up next year, shoot me an email anytime. I've got, three or four emails I haven't caught up on this past week from people who have gardening questions. Some are very timely. Some are just general, like when can I move this and all that. But shoot me an email, garden@mpbonline.org. We'd be glad to answer those kind of questions. But if you have events coming up, again, garden@mpbonline.org. I would like to direct some of y'all to my personal blog, felderrushing.blog. This week, forgot what I wrote about. Oh, about plant swaps, about the plant swap in Mobile and the plant swap up in Florida. Anyway, a little information, got some pictures on there, but it's, I don't sell anything on my blog. You can't even buy my books on my blog. But if you'll go to felderrushing.blog, you can learn about the benefits of artificial grass and what to do with an old gnome, you know, little things like that. Stuff about the pickup truck that was rescued and refurbished and all the stuff planted in the back. It's just a fun little thing. Not much how-to. If you're looking for how-to, that ain't the place. If you just want to have a little fun, felderrushing.blog. Appreciate it if you click that little thing that says follow, because that way every time I do something cheesy, you'll get a little note about it.
Now, before you go, Felder, let me jump in with my question. Yeah. Since we're hitting our, like, I think Monday is supposed to be maybe our first frost or something.
Yep.
Is it an ex-nay on new plants and, you know, is it over with?
No. Matter of fact, I got a whole bunch yesterday. I've got kale and parsley and pansies and there's all sorts of stuff that don't grow in the summertime. They only grow in the wintertime. That I'm about to set out, and they the colder it gets, the better they look.
But not avocados, like the guy who called earlier.
No, it's time to start cleaning those things up, get the lizards and the leaves out of them, to start bringing them in, because that's what I'm gonna be making room in my little cabin. Got a little sunroom to bring my potted plants in, starting over the weekend. Otherwise, it'll be what typically happens. I put it off, and then they're starting to freeze. I got frost on my eyebrows, and I'm dragging stuff in at the last minute, lizards and all. So anyway, plenty of stuff going on. Hope to see some of y'all this coming Tuesday night in Pontotoc, Mississippi. It's between Tupelo and Oxford, north of Crawford, you know, if you're up in that way. So anyway, it's a free program. Look forward to seeing y'all. And again, this weekend, Tishomingo State Park, Saturday 10 to 11:30. They're going to have a thing about making potpourri and other stuff from nature's bounties. The Gestalt Garden is a production of Mississippi Public Broadcasting. We call it Think Radio. My producers are laid-back but hard-working Java Chapman. Foreign greeter today has been Michelle McAdoo. We appreciate her doing that in there. I'm your host, Felder Rushing. I'll be thinking of all of y'all this weekend. I'm going to get out, plant a few stuff, neaten up my garden, get ready for the winter. Hope you and your gardens are faring well. If you get a chance, take a kid to a farmer's market or a garden center. Go out and buy a little sack of bulbs to put out, or a pansy or something like that, so they'll learn early on how to do what we do best, and that's get dirty. See y'all next week.
Support for the Gestalt Gardener comes from Atmos Energy, with a reminder to call 811 before starting to dig to get underground utility-owned lines located and marked. It's free, it's safe, and it's the law.